RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
It's Friday morning, which means the highlight of the week, really, for me, I guess, because I really enjoy having our political panel here at RCR every Friday morning. And joining us on the panel this morning, ladies first, Ro Edge.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good. A real lady.
I don't know about that, but we'll run with it.
His old man, Brian Tamaki.
Thank you, Paul.
Nice to have you, and here we go again. He's back, Cam Slater. Hi, Cam.
Good morning, everybody.
Brian, I hear you've been at the field days. How was that?
Yeah, that was actually was quite interesting because there's so many politicians that go there, of course. And I ran into David Seymour. We shook hands. We exchanged our names nicely, had a smile. And I guess that was enough for him to remember charter schools and that the school that he knows that he should be putting up first is the school that's got the future for Māori kids. I believe we've got a revolutionary educational future. So hopefully he does the right thing. But anyway, you want to talk about something else this morning?
Well, you can kick off, Brian. School Pride Week. What is it, next week, and the transgender agenda, go.
Well, this month is Global Pride Month, actually, and they've got a month, they've taken the weeks, and just about every day, it seems, but yeah, you're right. Inside Out are really hosting this Pride schools for schools next week. They have a very insidious agenda to target our children. Now, we need to make parents quite aware of this, and I believe that New Zealand has woken up a lot now, but we have to push this home that we cannot allow Inside Out, the rainbow community and all of the transgender and the others involved in this to think that they can take over our schools, bring their agenda of perversion to capture our kids in this generation. We need good, strong, heterosexual, masculine, male fathers to turn up on the 22nd of June. That's the weekend as it ends from the rolling resistance from schools from the bottom of the south to the top of the North Island. That parents should take their kids out for that day allotted to them and in a form of protest, go viral, take your phones and start to really take this to the schools that are allowing this. Maybe rip a flag, a trans flag down or something, but we need to make a noise and let this group know that they cannot continue to brainwash our country, rainbow into rainbow, the transgender agenda, and targeting our kids in school is not acceptable. So the 22nd, it's a Saturday, of the end of that rolling resistance from schools, every good male, masculine, as I said, Cam, a guy like you,
yeah,
a good heterosexual man. Fathers, we need to turn up and show that you care for the safety of your children and their future. So that's that thing. We've got to do something about this whole transgender that Kiwis are talking about, but they're still not doing anything about it.
Who's letting them in, though? Who's letting them in to the schools? What about them?
Who's letting them into the schools? As parents?
Well, no, I mean, you know, they've got access to schools. That must be some sort of official access, right?
Yeah, I think it's being driven by the Ministry of Education. But, you know, Brian's got a point here. Why are we having Pride Week and this transgender agenda and this talk about the rainbow community? They're not a community, right? Mm. I'm just sick of hearing that word community or our people or this or that. It's rubbish. There is no community. Not everybody's the same. Not everybody thinks the same. But this is being driven for whatever reason to destroy families, to destroy the role of parents. And the state is actually promulgating this. And it's alarming. And Brian's right. People need to stand up. And I know somebody took their kid out of school on Pink Shirt Day because they didn't like that. And I'd imagine when they have this day as well that her child won't be going to school either for this. So that's what people have to do. You can't just shrug your shoulders and go, oh, well, never mind, because it's the slippery slope. And if you let things start on the slippery slope, then eventually they just take diabolical liberties, and that's what we're seeing now.
What do you reckon, Ro?
Oh, look, we've got to stop our kids becoming the sacrificial lambs for this gender ideology cult. You know, we've got to get it out of schools, and it's really important that parents understand what's being taught to their kids. And there's a couple of good organisations that have set up. There's one called Let Kids Be Kids and another one called Resist Gender Education, and both of them have some really good resources. But yeah, look, it has no place in our schools, just as Inside Out doesn't have any place too. It has to be gone, and I'll be there. I'm not a heterosexual male, but I will be.
You can be for the day.
Mums, you need to come out as well. We all need to come out. You know, this is a civilized movement. It's a religious cult, and we've got to get rid of it.
Who's more susceptible to buying the whole thing, though? The males or the females?
The young women.
The mothers.
Mothers.
Women. Yeah, and mothers as well. But yeah, women are so much more susceptible to this, I hate to say. But especially young women, in terms of, you know, being sucked into it.
And but they're being inclusive. Yeah. They're being inclusive.
I agree with what you're saying. It's for all of us, like you say, Ro, for the mums. But we need to see a showing of strong masculinity, good men, fathers, who are going to make a show and stand up and send a clear message to the whole rainbow community. There are a lot of good heterosexual men who are fathers who do not want this type of ideology, as Ro said, in our schools, anywhere in our country, in fact.
Yeah, and I think there's probably a lot of good gay men as well who don't agree with it, because this ideology is the biggest gay conversion therapy that we have ever seen. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of people, full stop, who don't want to see it in our schools and just want kids to be left alone.
Here's what the government should do. This is what the education minister should do. She won't do it, but this is what she should do. She should say, we've got a problem with attendance at school. We've got a problem with literacy at school. We've got a problem with numeracy at school. When you fix those problems in the schools, then you can have your little pride meetings and, you know, your days off and things like that.
Is that right? Assuming they'll never be fixed, those problems, Cam? Because I don't think there are many people who want that.
They won't be fixed because politicians are too scared to rattle the cage, to take on the teacher unions, to take on the education matrix that exists out there that is controlling and supervising the degradation of New Zealand's education system. We used to be world leaders. We cannot claim that anymore. And until those problems are fixed, all of this frivolous nonsense should be banned from schools. If you can ban cell phones, why don't we ban stupid ideas like climate change?
Yeah. Brian, isn't pride one of the deadly sins, or one of the sins? Pride?
You're setting me up here, Paul, eh?
Well, I'm just thinking the name is being used, the word is being used.
Well, Cam has said it, and look, the degradation is the word he used. I would go also to say the morality in this country has collapsed as well. And there's a fair point here. We've got very permissive Kiwis on the couch that have allowed some of these organisations like the pro-Palestinian, you talk about the LGBTQI, you're talking about a whole lot of things, other things that are happening. Kiwis have got to fight for their country if they believe that their country is worth fighting for and our families fighting for. We've got to do something more than just talk in the lounges in our bedrooms and our houses. We've got to make a showing of good, you know, patriotic Kiwis, mums and dads, who are saying we're standing up for good, straight families. Straight men, straight women, we're standing for our families, and we're not going to allow this to continue. If we stay...
I differ from you slightly there, Brian, is I think we should stand up for families. Doesn't matter about straight or gay or anything else. It's just families, right?
Because No.
It's I know, fine. We're going to differ on this. But,
Paul's asked me a question about the morality. Yeah. He brought it in. You can't... Well, that's the problem. We're saying a man can be a woman, and a woman can be a man. They're teaching kids to change their gender.
Yeah, that's just bollocks, right? Yeah, that's bollocks. But my view is this:
if you don't put what's right there, how are our kids are going to have role models when they think they have a choice about gender. There is no choice. There's only two genders.
Sure.
And so we all agree on that.
We all agree on that. But the point I'm making is this, is I don't care whether you like giraffes to sleep with or lions. Or
it
you
could
want to
be very awkward.
Or you want to be a cat.
Height.
Or you want to be whatever. Ooh. You do whatever you want to do, right? You just live your life. But where I draw the line is where you start proselytizing your weird beliefs onto my children and grandchildren, right? You can do whatever you want in your own house, right? I don't care what you do in your own house. I don't care what you fancy or whatever. I really don't.
That's right.
Right? Keep it to yourself.
When it comes into the public domain, into libraries, into our state schools, then we have to stand up and say, well, we need to decide what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. And there's a big grey area in this country where our kids are left to think that there is no parents cannot state clearly about what sexuality is and educate them in their homes. It's not the job of the schools or the state to be trying to tell us how to give our kids sex education and give them the values they need, the morals they need, the conduct, the attitudinal development should all happen in the home. Yep. Your power is in your home, not out there in the different public areas where we think that, you know, freedom of what you're saying, I believe that. You can choose what you want. Do what you want, where you want. But there's got to be some guidelines. There are some boundaries to freedoms even. You can't expose your kids to R16 or R18 adult entertainment. That's no choice. You've got no choice about that. So there are some things where you've got to say, hey, there's a boundary. There are lines and there are limits that you can't cross. In this country of New Zealand, we're too permissive. We're too easy, we're apathetic, and we've lost our values, we've lost our patriotism, and we've lost principle and good morals.
That's what Banksy says to me when I interview him. He says exactly the same thing.
Well, I don't know about Banksy. This is Brian Tamaki speaking.
Oh, yeah, no, I know, but I'm saying Banksy agrees with you. If Banksy agrees with you, Banksy's got lots of fans on my show, so if he's saying it and Brian Tamaki's saying it, we might be on the right track.
It's an interesting point, though, isn't it, everybody? Because on this issue, quite a few unlikely people come together, right?
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got people like Rachel Stewart who are on the same page as us.
Yeah.
Right. And she would be, you know, classed as being part of the rainbow community. But
she wants a divorce, Cam. She says she wants a divorce from that.
She's absolutely opposed to this. But
I met some beautiful people at the Inflection Conference, like Roe and many others who have all sorts of choices in life, you know, like you were talking about the gay, the LGB. I know that they don't accept the terrible T, Q and I. So you have the lesbians and the gay or the homosexual, which is the gay, and the bisexual. They're not happier with the invasion of the transgender agenda in society, especially to our children and into schools and into other public areas. So, you've got to really see here that our country is facing a real crisis. We need to join together to deal with. It's starting to invade our schools, particularly. It's not safe anymore. We have Kiwis now that don't trust their families going to school, so they're bailing off to Australia. In the social sector, it's the same thing. Our whole parliament is basically pro the rainbow agenda.
Mind you, to be fair, so are the Australian parliament.
Yeah, Victoria.
Well, Australians are too, yes.
Yeah, Victoria have a law that if you don't affirm your child, the state will take your child off you.
Yeah.
So everywhere, it's just...
But we don't have to accept it. We do not have to accept it. I think we should be making a louder sound. I know, Cam, not everybody likes protesting, but I'm talking about at least standing up for what you believe. The most important treasure of this country is our children.
Yeah. All right. Want to move on. Same kind of zone, though. Transgender swimmer Leah Thomas fails in challenge to rules that bar her from elite women's races.
Oh, don't say her. Oh, God.
I'm just reading the headline from the Associated Press.
Yeah, don't read them like that.
He's a dude, man.
He's a dude. He's an autogynephile.
He's a dude.
Fails to rule
the
fella from elite women's races. There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
So for those who don't know who Leah Thomas was, Leah raced in the female NCAA finals last year and won a women's gold medal and also tied with another woman in a race and was awarded the medal over the actual woman. So Leah decided that he should be able to go to the Olympics because he's such an amazing swimmer. Female swimmer. And so he went, I think he took a case to the Court of Arbitration of Sports and against World Aquatics because they, after Leah embarrassed swimming on the world stage, they tightened their rules so that anyone that had the benefits of male puberty couldn't race in the female race. It didn't go quite far enough for us. We believe it should be those born female that category is protected to, but at least it was a move in the right direction, right? So Thomas thought that because the Olympics has such appalling rules, the Olympics changed their transgender eligibility after the last Olympics to say that you pretty much had to prove males didn't have an advantage to keep them out of women's sport, which is completely the wrong way around, right? But Leah thought that he should be able to race in the Olympics as a female, so went to the Court of Arbitration, but it got kicked out, which was brilliant.
What we need to have happen, I reckon, is what I was planning to do after I had my stroke and I decided that I was going to go to the Paralympics and do shotgun shooting.
Oh, right? I thought you were going to say backstroke.
No, I was going to do...
I was going to
enter in the Paralympics in trench, Olympic trench, which is the Grand Prix of shotgun shooting, right? The clay targets come out at 100 kilometres an hour and you got to shoot them in, you know, competition. So anyway, I applied, I met all the criteria, I started training, and then my mates were saying, well, why don't you enter as a woman? Just for a joke, Cam, you know, go with a beard, hairy legs, you know, do the whole...
Camille.
You do the whole Daisy Dukes, you know, thing and shorts, you know, little shorts and long legs and that, and slay all the women in the women's competition, say you're a woman, just to take the piss out of them on their stupid rules. And I reckon that's what we need to do with all of these competitions where they allow blokes to be women, is destroy their whole idea, like that powerlifter did in Canada, where he, again, full beard, came in there, blew out the transgender weirdo that was pretending to be a woman, and then walked away from it after that, making his point. And the second thing that we need to do is more women need to stand up and say, I'm not standing on that podium taking a silver medal or a bronze medal while a bloke is taking the gold medal.
That's easy to say, right? These young girls have trained all of their lives. If they do that, if they stand up and say that, they lose their spot in their team, they lose any sponsorships, they lose scholarships going to university, they pay a huge price. It is not up to them to do it, and I will push back against that all the time. I think are absolute legends, but it actually, you know, this is a male problem, right? These are males.
Absolutely.
And we need men and dads again, you know, Brian,
more
to
dads
speak
at the
up
swimming
and
pool.
Say this is bullshit, but not enough of them have the guts to do it.
Ro, if you've spent all that time and energy training and you end up being first loser, which is silver, right, to a man, isn't that the same result as if they stood up and said, nah, I'm not going to do that? You know,
but these girls basically have their whole lives ahead of them threatened. They're told they won't get into the college they want. They won't get jobs.
But they can't beat the blokes, though. They can't beat the blokes. They just can't, right?
No, they can't.
So their whole life that you've just said is ahead of them is not ahead of them because blokes keep pretending to be women and standing there and taking the gold medals. The only way to stop it is for everybody to walk away.
Yeah. Oh, look, I do agree, but it just because of the pressure that's put on these young girls, they don't. Very few of them do anyway. We've had a few older athletes overseas do it. Lynn Pinches, who's a pool player in England, and there's another female pool player as well, a darts player too. They've basically pulled back and said, no, this is bullshit. We're not going to do it. But it's, yeah.
What you should do is every trans man that enters a women's contest and wins it and goes up on the podium, then they should pull his pants down.
the great reveal.
What they do need to do is strip them of their titles. I don't know about stripping them of their clothes, but they definitely need to be
stripped. We're soon going to see that it's not a woman. Yeah.
That would be a difficult one to explain. I see that the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, their president, they're always making these words. Somebody called Sarah Kate Ellis is saying, World Aquatics continues to spread disinformation about transgender people as a distorted way to protect women. Where's the disinformation? What is it?
They're dudes. Yeah. That's it. They're not women. They're dudes.
I wonder, any thoughts on how these trans athletes must feel knowing that they've beaten, I mean, I don't want to downrate women's performances, but, you know, lesser performances, they're always going to probably win. I mean, how can you feel that that's some kind of accomplishment?
Well, I think it's all about power over woman, isn't it?
It's the ultimate misogyny, really. It's the patriarchy taking control and rubbing women's faces in it, and it's disgusting.
Yeah.
How can organisations with so-called intelligent people, whatever their sporting organisation is, even think of allowing a man it's impossible for him to be a woman, even to allow that type of behaviour to be happening right now? Why are we over the world, as Ro knows a lot of this, that organisations are actually allowing it? Every trans man who tries to enter women's sports at any level and any type of sport should be totally banned. No arguments about it.
But it all comes from the top, right, from the Olympics. They started the lie and everyone's just sucked it up, but it's not good enough. I mean, the Olympics put out some language that was acceptable for journalists to use at the Olympics coming up. And basically you weren't allowed to say biological sex. It was all this language that would cloak the fact that there will be males participating in female sport at the Olympics. But what's been really great to see so far, two big sports journalists, one from the Telegraph and one from the Times in the UK, have both pushed back and called out the IOC for their ideological crap chap.
That was a good malapropism there. You should keep that crap chat.
Why don't we then encourage all participants in any sport that they stand down? Don't compete when there is a man competing in a woman's sport. All of the woman competitors pull out, leave him by himself.
If they do that, it'll only take 1 year to solve this.
Yeah, but there's collateral damage. But I guess some people have to take one for the team.
Well, that's right. You've got to take drastic steps.
There always is collateral damage. I mean, you know, the protests during the Ardern regime, there was collateral damage. Brian knows all about that, right? Yeah. But it takes one person to stand up to give others courage, right?
Yeah. There are a few that are standing up. I mean, Riley Gaines is doing an amazing job over in the States, and she's got a whole group of young female athletes now standing up and going around all the states trying to get laws changed. They are making a difference. It's just bloody slow.
All right. Anything more to say about that before we move on to the next topic?
No, let's move on.
Okay, let's segue to Public Service Commission to conduct inquiry after Te Pāti Māori data allegations. And there's, of course, a lot more to all of this as well, but that's where we'll start. Cam, you want to head off on this?
Look, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. And what I look at is whenever there's complaints like this that raise their head, there is always an agenda, right? It doesn't matter what that agenda is, they're actually raising some issues. But this isn't just one person that John Tamihere would like us to think an embittered former employee or something like that. There are multiple people that have taken the whistleblower legislation, protections inside the civil service. There's whistleblowers out of Manurewa Marae. There is endless amounts of information that is coming out from people who were formerly close to John Tamihere and involved in the Maori Party or Te Pāti Māori. There is far too much smoke here, and there is likely to be a fire creating all of this. And everyone forgets, too, that just a couple of years ago, the Serious Fraud Office looked into donations around the Maori Party, and for some strange reason, after they prosecuted every other party, they didn't bother to prosecute or go any further with the Maori Party. So I think it's good that we've got inquiries or multiple inquiries going. I think that Christopher Luxon was rather weak in the way he announced it, saying, oh, we just need to make everything sure everything's above board so people can have confidence. Well, that's just bollocks.
Well, how can you have confidence in the public service ultimately through the commissioner investigating itself?
It's like marking your own homework, right? So there will be people that will be chucked under the bus. I'm absolutely certain there'll be low-level public servants that'll be chucked under the bus. I'm sure the Maori Party will find some, kind of like the gangs use, right? You get a prospect to do the crime and then you throw him under the bus and he gets a patch for it. So it'll probably be something like that will happen within the Maori Party. Oh, look, it was an out-of-control person and we didn't realise what they were doing. It'll all be brownwashed and everyone will be scared of being called racist and we'll end up ultimately with a whole lot of nothing is what I reckon we'll see out of it. And you know, there's too much there. There's too many people that have laid complaints. We need to have actually a proper inquiry from an independent person with the powers to actually compel people to give evidence.
Do you reckon we need like a national anti-corruption commission like they have in Australia over here?
Absolutely. We need an independent commission against corruption. And there's only one political party that's had it as its policy for 30 years, but it's never been taken up.
Is that New Zealand First?
Yes.
But aren't we the least corrupt country in the world?
Well, that's bollocks, because I can point you to lots of incidences of corruption that are obvious to anyone who cares to look.
Brian, tell us, how big in your understanding is all of this?
This is probably the biggest political scandal, I believe, in history, of New Zealand's history, this one. All the biggest, as you were saying, Cam, cover-up. If we don't get this right, I believe that New Zealanders should take a hold of our political institution and hold them accountable for allowing corruption at every level. All these agencies, 12 agencies that were involved, that's what criminals do to get together when they collaborate their stories so they can all get it right when they go to whoever, the police. And Cam is right. This public commission of from the cabinet and from the prime minister is not the right entity to undertake this inquiry, investigation. And Rose right too. We need people who are honest for a start, who are outside a lot of the government agencies that are complicit. We're talking about Stats New Zealand. We're talking about the Electoral Commission. You're talking about Whānau Ora. You're talking about so many now. What, 12 to 15 keeps growing. These tentacles go right in to government agencies, political parties that have been a part of this corrupt rot for decades, to Waipalina Trust with John Tamahere, Willie Jackson, the Māori Council and Prime Ministers, particularly Labor, and National, John Kitt, they've been involved in taking billions of taxpayers' money and trying to turn it into Māori money, paying hush money, bribery money, so that they can use Māori how they think they can, and then Māori elites, I don't even like the name, but just to get some identity here, the gatekeepers like John Tamahere and the Waipirinha Trust is a big one, and the Urban Māori Authority in South Auckland, that money was supposed to benefit people who needed it the most. Māori families on the ground with their kids and trying to get out of languishing in poverty, violence and all that sort of stuff, prison. That money was supposed to go there to give them a leg up, not to be dependent on the state, give them a leg up, get them going so they can get right, healed and be productive in society. But John Tamahere and Te Pāti Māori and radical Māoris, not all Māoris, but radical Māoris, they've kept that money from them by using it for other things than what it was meant to be used. And this corruption now has grown to a point where if we don't clean this properly, I believe it's going to have an enduring effect on separating Māori and the European, which we don't want. We need to come together as one people under one government, one law and one God. But if we allow this country to get away with it, if Luxon, Peters and Seymour do not make major charges and criminal charges at that against the Waipiriri Trust, John Tamahere, Te Pati Māori, and also the Marae, Manurira Marae, and Tashkent, the candidate there, they need a by-election. They need to show now that we can trust the government, trust our police force. Last year in October, we brought up all of these charges, Paul, to the Electoral Commission and to the police in October last year for treating. There was corruption in campaigning over the ballot boxes and what they were doing with food and other things, singing with the data, and a whole lot of bribery going on and paying people and switching all of the Māori role. Now, if this is just a slap on the hand and they do nothing, then every institution is going to have problems with the population of this country actually trusting them anymore, and that's going to have a major upheaval in Kiwis, I think in the hundreds of thousands, either leaving the country and leaving it to all of the immigrants that they're bringing in, or we're going to have a civil war.
Wow. Just on that too, Brian, you know, the election last year was October the 14th. The Ministry of Social Development ran an employment expo at Manurewa Marae on October the 4th, 10 days before the election, right? Tash Kemp was the CEO, who's now the MP. Ooh. So 10 days out from the election, they have this employment expo where you could go along to find out about a job. But while you were there, they also had a free hangi, coffee, donuts, ice cream, health checks.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh,
health checks after all of that.
Yeah. While you're here and you're getting all this free stuff.
Don't forget the KFC.
Yeah. Why don't you have that? Why don't you have a vote and pick up a voucher if you change to the Maori role? And, of course, Manurewa Marae is a polling booth at that exact place where they're doing all of this, right?
So the question is, how come such a light touch or almost an involvement of these agencies? I mean, there's huge money involved.
They're in
No one's – okay. Well, how could – what form could that take then?
Well, I'll tell you where it starts. It's the same as it is in Fiji or any smaller community. It starts with nepotism. There'll be somebody's uncle or cousin or nephew or something like that that's working in the MSD that help facilitate this. Remember, all of these government departments have these special people that are appointed to do things for Maori, and this is just one example of it, right? And they're all connected. You know, Willie Jackson is connected to all of this. John Tamahere's connected to some of these movements as well, where his daughter is married to Rauri Waititi. That's how incestuous the Maori Party and these urban authorities like the Manukau Urban Maori Authority and all of those other ones that are all under Willie Jackson's control, they're all interlinked.
Yeah, they are all in bed together. Many of these agencies are all complicit, and that's why when Luxon came forward, as you're saying, Cam, with the commission, the public ex-commission to do the inquiry, is a way where I believe they're going to give themselves time to sort it out, and so that this doesn't explode politically, which it has the potential to do. Now, the police and all of this, again, are found wanting. They haven't acted on information that they received that there was criminal acts happening last year and the year before. And between the Electoral Commission, the police, and politicians, they've managed to actually cover this up. They didn't do a good job because the chief officer for the election, he lied about the complaints that came from two or three organisations, one being us. When the Herald asked them, had there been any complaints about anything that was underhand or that it violated the election rules? And he said, no, there hadn't been.
Was that the police or the Electoral Commission?
That's the Electoral Commission.
Yeah, they've said there was no complaints. Now, I've spoken to two people who did lay complaints.
We were one, Ken. That's what I'm saying. We were one.
So that's the third person. Now, I've spoken to two others.
And so what we did, though, we put it to the Herald, the email back to the Herald, who asked for if it was a complaint. He said no. Was there going to be any investigation into John Tamahere, Te Pāti Māori or the Marae? He said no. Then we put the email back to them and said, excuse me, there was a complaint. There's ours and others, so you lie. And he said, oh, sorry, look, can I give you a personal apology? And I actually spoke to him and said, no, I want you to go to the Herald and say that you lied publicly about this. And so you prevented an inquiry or an investigation, and the police believed you, that could have happened way back there and cleaned a lot of this up, but you've allowed this to happen like this, and for all of this corruption then to spread further into agencies to cover each other's backside. So they all should be stood, the Te Pāti Māori should be stood down immediately. John Tamahere is the president. Like you said, the CEO of Manurewa Marae is Tash Kemp, who is also the candidate for Tāmaki Makaurau. And that nepotism, you say, and all of the mates that was happening there, that's corrupted. So she should be immediately stood down, and there should be a full investigation by the serious fraud office if they're not corrupted. Otherwise, what you and Rose said, we have to find some honest citizens out there.
Well, they went after New Zealand First, didn't they?
And National and Labour, and they failed in every regard.
Failed in every regard.
So is the serious fraud office, up to it? They've taken three prosecutions and failed in every single one of them. They're clearly not up to it, are they?
No.
But it sounds like we're in a pretty bad way.
You have to wonder at how much public sector corruption is actually costing taxpayers, right? Like, how does a publicly funded charity actually pay senior staff members more than the Prime Minister? Like, what are they on? Yep. $511,000 a year. Would they give themselves 151% pay rise? This is public money.
They didn't give themselves 151% pay rise. There's an independent commission that sets that.
Definitely, Rose, right. There is billions of dollars, not just the recent. This is this recent what you're uncovering. This goes back two decades. And this is a massive abuse of public money by our politicians and our parties who knew this was going on. They were complicit in feeding Māori this. And that's why I believe we're going to probably see, as you were saying, Cam, an inadequate investigation, which is a violation to the public's trust in these agencies that we are supposed to be believing in, particularly the police, the criminal cases, the justice system, and our politicians.
I want to read this. Martin Bradbury is backing John Tamahere.
Of course he is. He's being paid by him.
Arguing, wait on, that the scandal just reflects a schism between Destiny Church and the Māori Party, and the media's scrutiny of the allegations amount to naked garden variety bigotry where Māori are held to higher standards than non-Māori. It's a schism.
Which is like the opposite of what it actually
Martin,
is.
Martin Bradbury is a full-flushing idiot.
I agree.
I mean, he's got a column with Wātea News. He's best mates with Willie Jackson and John Tamahere. You can't believe a word he says. He's been donkey deep in the left wing's own version of dirty politics for decades. I wouldn't trust a thing that guy says. He's always got an agenda.
Okay, so it's not a schism, Brian, because he mentioned you. You see, that's why I brought
Brian's never been in the Māori Party, so there can't be a schism.
No, No, they will, because we know full well what John Tamahiti and Te Pāti Māori have been up to. This is separation by race. This is politics by race. They're using race on Europeans, and a lot of Europeans and even politicians and parties are afraid to front them, and I can understand that. But I can, and I have been, and I will continue until we get justice for the taxpayers of New Zealand who deserve to have justice from this huge theft of public money.
It's not just justice. It's actually trust in our institutions, right?
Well, that's it. Yep.
Trust that our taxpayer money is going to be wisely used and for the right things. I mean, how can they make a $16 million profit when they've got people in their community struggling big time?
Aren't they a not-for-profit?
Yeah, they're a charity.
Exactly. They got, what is it, $84 million or something in
assets? They've got $71 million, I think, $71 million in assets.
Yeah, huge number of assets.
Yeah.
They make more money than profitable organisations, you know. It's a joke. But, I mean, here's one thing that I'll predict now that will happen, I think, is you're going to probably see Willie Jackson abandon the Labor Party and go over to Te Pāti Māori. Right? They're already the Labor Party are whispering to me in the background going, we think Willie Jackson's where our leaks are coming from. Right? They don't trust him. Right? He's always defending John Tamahiri the time.
Those two have been thick as thieves for years, haven't they?
We used to have a talkback show together. Maybe they formed a very close bond during that time. All right, let's stay in the political zone, and we'll talk about an MP who got assaulted, though I don't know. When you're judging it by Liz Gunn, maybe not. taxpayers funding MPs Wellington houses. This looks like, well, what word do we use? Is it a rort or?
Why are we surprised by this? I mean, what I'm surprised at is the gullible media are taking something that's being pushed by a left-wing agenda about MPs having their accommodation paid for by the taxpayer. They always have. This never came up when Jacinda Ardern was in.
Someone you know owns the Prime Minister. The place or a family member or a wife.
Yeah, but they've been at it for decades. Like, honestly, this is not a surprise or a revelation. Anyone who's been involved in politics knows that when an MP gets elected, the first thing they do is they go and buy an apartment down in Wellington, and then they then pay themselves the rent for it. From their accommodation. They've always done it. But I'm not saying it's right, but why isn't anybody saying, well, how come this has come up now that there's a national-led government in there? It didn't come up when Jacinda Ardern was in there, right? It never comes up whenever there's a left-wing government, and it just comes up on the right-wing government. But they'll never change the rules. National won't change the rules.
You live only... Well, now that Transmission Gully's in, it's not that far. The MP for Kapiti, Costly, lives in Waikanae. It's a murder in Waikanae a few days ago. In Waikanae, yet he's got a place in town. It's only a...
Well, Kieran McInulty's doing the same thing, and he doesn't live very far away.
Well, that's the Rimutaka Hill. No, he's bastard. And I mean,
I'm going to come at it from a different angle, right? My brother-in-law was an MP for 15 years. My sister and her husband moved their family to Wellington because otherwise, due to the hours he did, they would never have seen him. He used to come home for dinner in the dinner hour, put his overalls on, sit down at the table with the kids, have dinner, and then go back to work. Their marriage, I doubt, would have lasted had they not moved to Wellington.
Yeah, fair point.
And it doesn't make sense to not buy a house down there. If you're getting this money, why would you not buy a house and use that money to pay off the mortgage? It's just common sense, right?
I guess. All right. Well, that's pretty well done then, isn't it? We worked through that one pretty quick. That was a really efficient one. Maureen Pugh allegedly assaulted during an anti-mining protest in Takaka. Now, it seems that anyone who's kind of on the left or green is angry and can let go, is my impression.
Well, they can't come to terms with the fact they lost the election, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this whole, like, protesting the fast-track bill and, you know, undermining our democracy, did they forget about COVID? Hello. Like, no other government has ever undermined our democracy more. And there was a fast-track bill involved there. So I just find
really fast.
Like, a lot of them still wear masks, I noticed. So they're still in the
Well, of course they do. They wear masks because they have ill intent and they don't want to be identified. Right. But it's so convenient now to wear, you know, the muzzle. You know, I've seen it, noticed it around the streets the last few weeks. There's more and more people wearing a muzzle again.
Brian, you've done a lot of protesting. You've been out on the street many times and you've probably faced off against counter-protests. What's your impression of the behaviour of those groups?
Well, the radical left terrorists think they can actually do acts of violence. They can deface public property and destroy public property. They leave a hell of a mess, like the last protest down the road there, the pro-Palestinian, come Greens, come LGBTQI, come
Antifa.
Every misfit who's there, they left the whole show in a mess. And I think, I believe in peaceful protest. I've been involved in a lot of protests. Peaceful protesting is the way I believe we do it. But we have enough good men in our security that if they try to do that, not using the same force back, but we know how to anesthetize it and to bring it under control, and without having to use, you know, forceful violence. So,
well, I've seen you do that in action, Brian. Because when Avi Yemeni came to New Zealand, I was organising the events, and the one in Wellington, Antifa were putting all over Twitter that they were going to shut it down and everything. Well, you know, there was a couple of elderly weirdos sticking up some things on power poles, but they didn't come near the event, which was at Destiny Church in Lower Hutt there.
Yeah, Petone.
It was perfectly well behaved. There was no rowdies because guess what? There's a whole lot of man up people that were out the front there. And for all of a sudden, these tough Antifa guys that talk about stopping things were unable to stop it.
Gang up on women, right? We saw it at
Leopard. Yeah, they only do it. They only beat up women.
Yeah, they all kind of hammered us at Let Women Speak and then tried to go down the road to Brian's event, and they turned around with their tail between their legs. But, you know, Maureen was a lone female and it's just disgusting.
That's what they do. They like roughing up females. And do you remember when Jacinda Ardern was the Prime Minister, we'd hear all these stories in the media about how it's dreadful she's being attacked because she's a woman. We've got headlines for Maureen Pugh because it was so egregious, the actions that they took. But you haven't got the media then wailing on about how women are treated poorly because she's the wrong kind of woman. It's like the wrong kind of man.
Well, she got shut down for making climate comments, didn't she?
Yeah.
Paul, after the inflection conference, we've been inundated. We had been before, but inundated with organisations, especially the ladies' organisations, if they could have men up to come and do security.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they all say that they don't, one, trust the police, and two, too many times the police have been there and done nothing.
I don't trust the police. Not one bit.
There's a pattern emerging, isn't there, with the police? There's Parliament. There's Speak Up for Women.
Firearms community.
There you go. And there's now most recently, there's sort of light-handedness in looking into what we were just talking about before.
Yeah.
Do you guys wonder if we're seeing more aggressive behaviour from these protesters because of the aggressive behaviour we're seeing in Parliament, that it's being led from the top? I mean, I honestly think Jerry Brownlee really needs to get Parliament under control and get bloody strict with what's going on there, because it's just embarrassing. You know, the abuse that's going on, that Julianne Gent are walking over, it feels like nothing is done with the poor behaviour, and that is role modelling to all of them.
What was that comment that young Maori MP made to Winston about his blood?
Yeah.
Was it something like, you don't deserve Maori blood running through your veins? Yeah. You're wasting
But imagine if that was around the other way.
The example that we should be looking at is the example of Stephen Watson, who is the police chief of the Greater Manchester Police. He inherited that the police force was in disarray. It was woke as all hell. And he portrayed himself as the anti-woke chief constable of Greater Manchester Police, and he's completely turned it around.
In terms of crime and policing and all of that.
Yeah, because he's actually policing. He's not being woke and going, there, you need a hug, you know.
Brian, what happened when you were doing the crossing protests And how did the police relate to you during that time, recently?
Well, that came out of the drag queens and libraries, as you know. And we believed that we had to do something with the parents of those communities to get those libraries storytelling from R18 adult entertainers stopped. Now, when we got to Gisborne, Hastings closed down, Rotorua, we were having some victories, and we got to Gisborne, and the council there were filled with woke, here it is again, LGBTQ. I mean, look, I don't mind their views and all that, but what they did was they doubled down and told us to basically piss off. We're not listening to you guys. And in the end, we tried with the parents, we sent emails, we just wanted a talk, a meeting about the storytelling by drag queens to kids. They wouldn't listen. So in the end, how can I put this without getting into trouble, because there's still a Gisborne, they go, we looked at these crossings and basically thought, well, this is a political protest. And so we just painted them. And we thought we just need to get the attention of the Gisborne Council. And what happens, the K Road one happened as well, it got the attention of the world. It went viral. And then you could feel the sentiment that's sitting in many good people around the world, that we're sick and tired and we're fed up having all of this rainbow stuff pushed down our throats with flags at airports, illegal crossings, paraphernalia everywhere. Everything was coloured rainbow. And I think
what did the police say, Brian? The police said, we're treating it as a hate crime. It showed how woke and pathetic they are.
Well, that came out after that. The police really said that this was a crime, a hate crime. And then they proceeded to try and get enough evidence to reinforce that for a conviction to try and get prison time. That was the talk behind the scenes. So I had to quickly get a good lawyer to basically say, so we're touching this as a political protest, and I'm not even mentioning about what happened at Te Papa and all that, that the police now want to take this as a political crime or a hate crime and a political protest. And so here we saw the real condition of the police and their commissioner, Costa,
Costa.
At that time. And this whole police force was exposed to the public and to New Zealand, that they were caring more about the rainbow and this whole, community and the flags and everything else that was out there in the crossings than actual crime that was happening in the communities. And that people needed some police to get to their places to help them with some stuff that was going down against them, and yet they couldn't get the police to really do their job. Instead, they were more precious about protecting the rainbow community.
Now, this is happening everywhere, though. It's globally, isn't it? You see they're putting in all these pride crossings in the States at the moment. There's one in Huntington, West Virginia, where two young guys have been arrested and faced felony charges for doing some wheelies on a lime scooter.
Yeah, I've seen that video,
So you can vandalise an American monument right outside the White House, nothing happens.
Burn the American flag?
Nothing happens, but don't you dare do wheelies on a bloody rainbow crossing or you're in trouble.
It's a hate crime.
You know what? The biggest crime here is these councils are thinking they're above the law. They're a law unto themselves. And when you get what I mean by that, they think that they can use ratepayers' money now to get these crossings painted on there, illegal at that. And then all the paraphernalia and all the stuff they do, there's millions of dollars spent right across, probably multi-millions of ratepayers' money spent on pushing the sexualization of our children. So we've seriously gone all the way to take on the Wellington City Council. It's been done, it's served, that we're taking them on for a legal crossing.
All right, I think we're done for this Friday. I want to thank Brian Tamaki. Thank you, Brian, for being on our panel.
My pleasure.
I want to thank Ro Edge. Always good to see you, Ro, and to hear you. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me.
And
oh, you always laugh. You always one and laugh. Only.
Well, I get to you and I think, oh, do I really need to say anything? Cam, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Paul.
Okay. And everybody have a great weekend, and we'll do it all again in a week from now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you loving what you're hearing? Well, the establishment hates it, and right now they're conjuring up new ways to try and censor RCR. To ensure you never miss a beat of the hard-hitting news you've come to know and love, make sure you're on the RCR mailing list. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.